Let's go to Proverbs 22 to start with. We're talking about the series is Be Faithful. And we're talking about a description of the last days and five things to help us survive in the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But we're going to Proverbs chapter 22. And then look in verse 28, Proverbs 22, 28. The writer here says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Now, those landmarks would have been boundaries. There would have been some limits, some markers. And Solomon here is encouraging his son to not remove those ancient landmarks. The boundaries that were set before this young fella was probably alive. That's why they're ancient. I remember reading in a book years ago. It's a great book. It's called On Being the Servant of God. A tremendous book if you're in the ministry. But I remember reading in that book, he said, never tear down a fence until you know why it was put up. And we're living in a world today where there's been a mass removal of all kinds of fences. I mean, in the church today, they are removing everything or trying to remove everything that we hold sacred. That we hold to be important, that we hold to be Christ-honoring. And there is a movement within not only, I guess, mega churches, but there's a movement pretty much in America just to leave the old paths behind. Just get away from those things. And matter of fact, I was reading, I think I mentioned this a while back, maybe 6 months ago, I read an article by a fellow who has one of the largest churches in America, which is in Charlotte. Huge church. And he videotaped himself and he said this, "You old people out there need to just get out of the way." He said, "Because we're going forward and we're leaving y'all behind." I mean, he said that with a straight, and he kind of is a little angry about it because he doesn't like people to question the way that he does ministry. But I would just say this, there's a movement and there is a force, there is a pressure, there's a pull for us to leave the old paths behind. And it's not just the old paths, but it's the old principles behind. And I know that I talk about this often, but the fact is, the Bible tells us there's some things that are worth and worthy of us to hang on to. And I can tell you this, guys and ladies, if there isn't any place in the world that you can come apart and be separate from the world, if that place disappears, what are we going to do? I mean, if we have no public setting where we can come together as believers and be encouraged towards holiness instead of unholiness, encouraged towards faithfulness instead of unfaithfulness, encouraged to be committed instead of uncommitted, if that place disappears, then I would say that the church in and of itself is on shaky ground, at least in this country. Now, there are other countries where things are going, I suppose, better in some sense because the church is under persecution and the believers have become very committed in that. But I was reading some last week about this idea. And don't, you know, just stay with, don't judge me yet, okay? This idea about dressing up to go to church. And this one pastor wrote, he said, well, if you dress up to go to church, you ought to dress up to have your devotions. I said, all right, well, that's good logic there. Well, I'm not having my devotions out on in the public necessarily. You know why I dress up when I go to church? Because I want to show the world that I'm honoring my Father. I want to show the world that I have a desire to please the Lord. And it's not about, and as we get back to 2 Timothy, the idea of the new world or the new church, if you will, is all about comfort. Just whatever makes you comfortable. You know, if you don't want to go to church, we don't want you to be uncomfortable so you can just stay home or you don't have to dress up. God forbid you might have to get uncomfortable for a few minutes to honor the Lord in front of the world. But the Bible tells us there's some old landmarks we ought to hold on to. And I still think we ought to respect the house of God and the person of God in the way we appear in our church. There's some ancient landmarks we need to hold on to. Not only that, I believe our Bible, listen, that thing I read Wednesday night, which I had already read and I'd copied it, but that just, it infuriated me for one. But not only that, it just reminded me of the times that we live in, that this old book, guys and ladies, this book that God wrote to us, that is the very Word of God, which is our direction and our instruction, this is our guide, not the wisdom of mankind and not the wisdom of this world, but it is the Bible. And man, we need to hang on to that. But I would just say this, there is a pull and a pressure, and some of you old-timers out there, I'm not concerned about y'all capitulating and giving in and going the way of the world. I mean, I doubt seriously Kenny will show up next week with an earring and wearing a big old gold cross around with a turtleneck. I don't know. Okay. I don't think I'm going to see Lewis come in here looking like a hippie. That's not going to happen. All right. But there's some of you younger people in here, and sad to say, I know young people, even good young people that have drifted into the wrong churches and in the wrong direction because of the pressure and the pull of the world. And maybe it's because they don't understand why we do what we do, or maybe they don't understand how important it is. But the fact is, there's some things, guys and ladies, that Paul tells Timothy that are so important, don't stop doing them. Keep on doing them until you die. And God help us to not surrender the old paths and the old principles of holiness. And I know you may get weary of me comparing our church or our ministry to what's going on in the world, but I'll tell you, it bothers me when preachers get in pulpits and use cuss words in their messages and say, well, that's just the way it is these days. That's what you got to do to reach people. No, you don't. You don't have to get up there and cuss. You don't have to get up there and you know, it's like the old saying is, the guy, he was on his way out on Sunday morning, and he saw a guy in a pair of shorts and a sloppy T-shirt, and the guy said, you know, used to you'd think that guy was out playing tennis, but now you'd think he's probably coming home from church. Well, that's the world we live in today. And you know, I was reading a while back in this book about the marketing of the church, and the guy who wrote it, he interviewed one of these mega church pastors, and he said, well, tell me what relevant means. He said, well, relevant means this, is that we wear jeans to church. He said that we watch movies that have things that probably are questionable. He said, but you know what? Some of us have beer in our refrigerator. And he said, that just makes us relevant. And the pastor who was interviewing this guy said, you're telling me that so if you want to be relevant to this world as a Christian, you got to wear jeans. Now listen to this. Watch things that are not good and have beer in your refrigerator. He said, 20 years ago, we called that just being ungodly. That's what it used to be called, just being worldly and ungodly. But nowadays, you know what they call it? Well, that's being relevant. That's how we're going to be able to reach the world. Now, we need to have some commitment, guys and ladies, to some things that we've been taught by people who we respect, by people who we know would not lead us astray. And we need to hold those paths and hold that direction in our spiritual life. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let me show you what I'm talking about. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned This is 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now let me just give you a couple of definitions here. He says when you've learned, that means you've learned. Somebody's taught it to you. And been assured of. The word assured of means exactly that. It just means you're just confident of what you've learned, that it is the truth. It's the right way. It's the right thing. And then he says, knowing, and the word knowing there has the idea of complete and absolute confidence in. It means you are absolutely persuaded that what you are learning and what you have been taught and those people who have taught you, you are convinced that they are the right ones and they are the right thing. And he says here to continue in those things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing or being confident of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul here, we said those five things to help us to stand in these dark, decadent, dismal days, morally speaking, and in a world that has defied Christianity and has shaken their fist at God and has decided that human wisdom replaces this book. I like that Kenny's going to put an editorial out in the Greenville News, right? And that's a good one. You ought to send that out in the email. Let everybody read. That's a good editorial. But one of the little remarks he puts in there is about God's Word is our guide. And that might be exactly what he said, but something like that. And the Word of God is our guide. It is the thing that directs us. But as we look in these dark days and these dismal and dreary days when everything seems to be opposed to us, how are we going to live? We realize we're living in them. We recognize the character of these folks. And then the third thing is we resist them. We don't allow them to pull us and pressure us and to go the wrong direction. And I'm telling you, that is a real pull and a real pressure. It amazes me to know that there are people, middle-aged people my age and even older than I am, that sit in services week after week and listen to rock concerts that I know make them uncomfortable. I know that they don't agree with. I know that they think is dishonoring, and yet they stay in those churches. I told you, Tammy and I visited one in Oklahoma City, and they told us up there not to pick our hymn books up. Don't pick your hymn book up. Well, I want to pick my hymn book up. I want to read the notes. And there was these two elderly ladies down from, and they were watching me. Is he going to pick his hymn book up? I picked my hymn book up. I was in defiance. And they were singing, I don't know, He Lives or Living, I don't know what it was. But anyway, I was flipping through there. I used the hymn book. Well, then they made us sit down, and then they did comedy for about 20 minutes. And it was poor comedy. It didn't even make you laugh. It made you want to get out of there. And then they did some drama for another 10 or 15 minutes. At 10 till 12, the preacher got up, and I looked at Tammy. I said, we're never going to get out of here. I said, you know, this is going to be the longest service in the world. The guy preached 10 minutes and folded it up and said, let's go home. There was over 400 people there. I looked around. Now, here's the sad thing. Some of those people knew my grandfather. And my grandfather pastored in the denomination. And I went and asked some of them, do you know my granddad who pastored the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Blanchard? And they go, oh yeah, I know your grandpa. And I remember your granddad. He was a great guy. And I thought to myself, God help us. If people like that, who were raised in good churches and had good pastors who taught them the right way, can sit there and tolerate that kind of nonsense. It's unreal. We're living in a day and time when there's so much pressure to resist and to or pressure to give in and go the other way, but we are to resist that. And then the fourth thought I was giving you this morning, and I know I got sidetracked on that palm tree thing, but verse 14 is we're to remain. We're not to give up. We're not to give in. We're not to go away from those things that we have been taught. So Paul here, he reminds Timothy, he says, But continue. Don't stop. Keep going. And don't give up. So you say, well, what are we supposed to continue in? And there's my sermon over here. I'm looking through that. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, he says, there's three things that I've broken this down. Timothy's to continue in the things he's learned. Okay, so what has Timothy learned? Well, look what it says in verse 15. And that from a child Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So somewhere, somehow, some way, someone taught Timothy the Bible. Now, I know that this is a reference to the Old Testament, but we have the whole Bible now, and as we read this, this is a reference to us. As we look at verse 16 anyway, I believe it's speaking of the whole Bible. I know at that time they didn't have the whole Bible canonized, but the fact is, when we look at the Scriptures, Timothy was taught the Scriptures. He learned the stories, he learned the truths and the principles about the Word of God. He learned them in three particular ways, I believe. Number one, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. First of all, he learned those Scriptures consistently. Matter of fact, I think it's interesting. One guy who was writing, he said this, we ought to be teaching our children the Bible while they're in the womb. He said, why should your child that's in the womb be forming underneath the ear of the television, underneath the voice of the television? He said, why don't you read the Bible to your child that's in your belly? That's an interesting thought. But when it says here, from a child, the word literally is infant, or from infancy, Timothy knew the Bible. The idea is this, that Timothy learned the Bible consistently over all of his years, even from a little bitty tyke. Somebody took had the wherewithal, and somebody had the commitment to take that little fellow aside and to teach him what God said, and to teach him the Word of God, and to teach him the ways of God. Somebody was committed enough to do that. And here old Timothy, he knew the Bible. He knew it backwards and forwards. Why? Because his mother and his grandmother made sure of it. Isn't that a good thing? Man, I love that idea. Praise God for people who are willing to teach their kids the Word of God. And you know, people say, well, you know, I take them to church. Listen, they're only in church for a couple hours a week. We've got to be able to teach our kids the Word of God. And Timothy was taught consistently the Bible. I'm just saying this. You know what he says? You need to continue in those things you've learned. What have you learned? He learned this, that this Bible was true. And he needs to keep with it and stay with it and not give up on it. Even though the world may say, well, it's all right if homosexuals marry. Man, I read that article again about from that thing that made me mad. But he was comparing some other things in Leviticus. And here's what I thought he left out. Well, he left out that I guess it's okay for you to sleep with a beast then, because that's in that same paragraph. So why don't we just put that on the front page of the newspaper, huh? I mean, if you're going to say that it's all right to do that, then why don't you go down the next few verses and say it's right to do that? The fact is, these guys don't believe the Word of God. Matter of fact, I was reading early this morning as I was preparing, and I told Debbie, I was torn in two, I was divided about those messages, and I always, always, whenever that happens to me, it never goes the way I planned. But anyway, I was struggling with that message. But I was reading this morning of a man who gave a pastor, who gave a survey to five denominational pastors, and they were the United Methodist, one of the Presbyterian groups, the Episcopalians, I think it was the regular Baptists, and one other that I can't remember. And he asked them this question, do you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible? Basically, do you believe the Bible's true? And he gave the results of that. And I thought to myself, well, surely the Baptists, there'd be 100% that would say, yes, we believe the Bible. Did you know that out of all of those denominations, it was at least, for every one of them, at least 80% of them denied that this Bible is true completely. Think about that. 8 out of 10 of the preachers that he polled in those denominations said this, well, we don't believe it's entirely true. I mean, yeah, there's truth in it. Well, you know, Timothy was taught the Word of God, and I remember years ago, and I know sometimes when I'll mention somebody and y'all think I'm off track, but I remember I used to listen to Jack Hiles all the time. I mean, I loved listening to Jack Hiles, and I remember his mother teaching him, and some of y'all may remember that message where Jack Hiles would say that his mother would put him on his knee, and she'd say, this Bible is the Word of God. Now repeat that, and he'd say, the Bible, the Word of God. You remember that message? He'd say that, and she'd say, this Bible's the truth, and you repeat that, and he'd mock that out with his little mouth, and he said, my mother made me believe that this Bible was the Word of God and that it was true, and if anybody ever said it wasn't, that they were the ones that were lying. And I'm telling you, we need to instill not only in our kids, but in our own hearts when these shucksters and shysters and imposters get on television and on the radio and they question this Word, we need to realize this is the Word of God. Hey, don't buy into that nonsense. Look what it says up there in verse number 13. But evil men and seducers, the word seducers is imposters. And these imposters, they get out and they redefine and they redirect the Word of God away from its true meaning. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. Timothy was taught the Bible consistently. Secondly, look what it says down there. Not only did he know it from a child, and you know what? I learned the Bible as a child. My mother took me to, I can remember when I was just a wee little crumb snatcher sitting in front of the we had one main heater in my house in the kitchen. Now, where I grew up, in the house I grew up with anyway, we didn't have central air and we didn't have central heat. Well, we had central heat. It was a stove in the kitchen. It was central in the house. And I remember my mother getting me up when I was about Laney's age there, and she'd say, grab your church shoes, and I'd get my little church shoes, and she'd go in there in the kitchen, and you start polishing them shoes up. And as a little kid, when I was 4 or 5 years old, really, I'd be sitting in there polishing my shoes, getting ready to go to church, and my mother, she made a point to get us kids in the church to teach us the Word of God. Think about that. And nowadays, people don't even think it's you ought to waste your time to go to church. And that's part of the reason we're in this mess. Well, he learned it consistently. Secondly, he learned it correctly. Look what it says. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I love that. Paul described the Bible as being holy. It's unique. It's different. It's divine. It came down from heaven, the Bible did, by God. It is a holy book. It's a divine book. It's not man-made. And kids, you tune in and listen to this. People will say, well, that book was just written by a bunch of old monks up in a cave somewhere. No, it wasn't. It was not. The Bible says, let me show you how it was written. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll tell you exactly how this book was written. And we have the testimony of the Bible itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look down in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. And I love that. It shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's a good thing to remember too. And the second thing he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't a bunch of guys got together and said, you know what, we need to come up with a book because this humanity thing's going crazy and we need to fix it somehow. No, it wasn't by the will of man. It says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This was written by the holy men of God as God inspired them supernaturally and inspired them to write down His very words. And listen, Timothy got from a young age, not only was he consistently taught, but he was taught the correct things about the Bible. This is a holy Bible. It's a living word. It's a powerful thing. It's different from all other writings. It is the holy Scriptures of God. Timothy realized that what he was given was the right thing. And listen, you know, these days, guys and ladies, that the Bible is under such attack. Matter of fact, the world in general, at large, many people have written the Bible off as if it doesn't even matter. But the fact is, it is a holy book. It is the book that gives us the instructions for this life. It's the book that gives us the directions to tell how to live this life. It's the book that gives us the explanation of this life. That's what the Word of God is. And Timothy, he got it from his parents. He got it right when he was a young kid that the Holy Scriptures are something he needs to continue in. But not only were they holy, look what he says, he goes on to say this, they are which able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They're also the helpful Scriptures. They're able to make you wise, he says, unto salvation. You say, what does that mean? It's able to help you understand that you need to be saved. It gives you the wisdom to understand you need a relationship with God. It gives you the knowledge that you need the Scriptures are helpful. The word able is a word where we get dunamis, it's power. It means they are capable of teaching you the way of salvation. Not only does the Bible teach us the way of salvation, but it teaches us that which is good. It teaches us the gospel. It teaches us the way we're to go. That is what the Bible is. So Timothy got, not only was it consistent, but it was correct. He got a dose of the Holy Bible. And I kind of hesitate to say, but you can go online now and there are versions of an unholy Bible. There are people who have taken this Bible, they've changed every reference in it that as God being a man and made it a woman. There's references in it every time it talks about homosexuality that they twist it and they make it look like it doesn't mean what it says. I've read portions of those Bibles, and I'm telling you, it's amazing what people will do to try to salve their conscience. But the fact is, Timothy, you know what? When Paul said this, he said, you know what? You've known the Holy Bible since you was a little fella, and that Bible is holy. It came from God. It is God's Word. You're in 2 Timothy. Go back a few pages to 1 Thessalonians, just a few books back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look what it says in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Wow, Timothy, you've got the Holy Bible. We have the Holy Spirit, not the worldly spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Scriptures, and we're to be holy saints. We're to be unique in this world. We're to be different. We're to be driven by God's Spirit Himself. Timothy got it correctly. Go back to 2 Timothy. Not only did he get it consistently as a kid, but he got it correctly as a child. And then I believe, thirdly, that he got the Bible constantly. You know, Timothy, when Paul met Timothy, go to Acts chapter 16. When Paul met Timothy, I believe Timothy was already saved, and there's people who don't believe that, but I think Timothy was already saved when he met Paul, and I think Paul became his mentor and his discipler. Look what it says in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, and look at verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. You know what? Timothy had a good testimony. I believe Timothy not only learned the Word of God when he was a little kid, I think he learned the Bible correctly. He got it right about the gospel. He got it right about the instructions and the directions and the explanation of the life that we're living. But I think he continued with God's Word. I don't think he gave up on the Word of God. And I know sometimes, guys and ladies, and this is where faith comes in. Sometimes you're going through life and you run up against something in your life that doesn't make sense. And it brings a lot of pain in your soul. And you are confused. And you don't understand. And you think to yourself, well, the Bible says that God's going to comfort me and God's going to help me and God's going to see me through this. And I understand it's painful. And I understand there's times when we don't understand. But that's when we just have to believe the Bible. We just have to believe the Word of God. We have to trust God that He knows what He's doing, that He knows what He's doing in our life. That's when we have to have faith. But Timothy here, he was well reported. He was a good disciple. I believe he constantly was in the Scriptures. He continued in those Scriptures. And Paul is encouraging him. Hey, you want to know how to resist the pull of this world? The pressures to give in and become worldly in your worship and worldly in your living? He said, just stay in the Word of God. Just keep going in the Bible. Hey, you know what? This thought came to me the other day. I know Mike back there. Mike has made a decision this year. He reads 18 chapters a day. Now, that's a lot of Bible in a day. I try to read 10, okay? He reads 18. When you read 18 chapters a day, or you even read 10 chapters a day, you know what? You go through the Bible pretty regularly. I got to thinking yesterday, I was reading through my devotions. You know what? maybe as I'm reading through this, maybe there's something deeper here. Maybe there's something I haven't figured out yet. And you know what? The fact is, the more we read the Word of God and the more we're exposed to the Bible, guess what? We find more stuff in it. We find more truths and more realities and more principles for us to be able to follow in God's Word. What I'm trying to say is this, guys and ladies, don't give up on the Word of God. You need to keep reading it. Keep studying it. Lewis and I were talking the other day. He'll be 91 this year. He's still continuing to teach his Sunday school class. Amen, hallelujah. And you say this, well, good night, Lewis. You've probably been through that Bible 50 times. Yeah, he probably has. But you know what? He's going to keep going through it. He's going to keep learning from it. He's going to keep seeing new things from it, because you'll never get to the bottom of this book. It just continues to speak. Timothy was, I believe, constantly in the Word of God. That's why he was a good disciple. He was consistently, he was taught correctly. So you say, well, go back to 2 Timothy. It says, but continue now in the things which you've learned. Well, what have you learned? Have you learned the Bible? Yeah, but the Bible doesn't do anything for me. Really. Not only, listen, the only reason the Bible wouldn't do anything for you, now stay with me, is because the Bible is competing with something else you've already got as a priority. You're already following something else, and you're just saying, well, I know this is what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this anyway. Well, yeah, if you disobey the Bible, it's not going to work for you. But when the Bible's your meat and your drink and your light and your love, in your sustenance, guess what? It's going to work for you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to excite you. It's going to help you, to motivate you to be what God wants you to be. He learned the Word of God. Secondly, Timothy learned the ways of God. You say, well, how do we know Timothy learned the ways of God? Well, for one thing, we know this. Timothy spent some time on the field, mission field, with Paul himself. Timothy watched Paul. Timothy served with Paul. Timothy marched with Paul into the cities sometimes, and he was there serving alongside him. You know what Timothy saw while he was serving with Paul? He saw how to live for God. He saw what it took to serve God in the trenches. He saw what it meant to be a soldier for the Lord. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Go to Acts chapter 13, and let me show you something there quickly. Acts chapter 13. Timothy didn't just learn the Word, he learned the ways of God. Now, I just read you Acts 16:1. Let me read it again. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there was Timothy. Most people believe that Timothy was from either Lystra or Derbe. Okay? Now, we go back to Acts chapter 13, and pick it up in verse... There's no way we can read all of this, but Paul's preaching a message here. Look what it says in verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now just hold that for a minute. Let me read you again 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Paul said, persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So Paul references that back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, here's what he's referencing. In verse number 15, it says, and after reading of the law and of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So verse 16, Paul stood up and basically preached. And he preached all the rest of this as a long message. And then look down in verse number 41. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews, and that's the end of his message there, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought these words, that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next day, on the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So there was some opposition there. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge you yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So Paul, when the Jews opposed him, he said, you know what, we're going to go to the Gentiles and present them the message. Now many believe that while Paul and Barnabas were having this situation in Antioch, that Timothy was there, that Timothy was observing what was going on. Let's keep reading. Look what he says in verse number 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So Paul, after he was opposed and after he had preached and they basically had kicked him out of the city, he shook the dust off. And what does it say there? It says this, that he was filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. He didn't start moping around saying, oh, woe is me. Man, those rascals, they kicked me out of the city. I'm not going to be able to do anything there. You know what he said? Praise God, I'm able to serve God and preach for the Lord, even though they don't accept it and even though they don't believe it. Look at the next verse, chapter 14, verse 1. So it came to pass in Iconium. Now again, Paul mentions this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And they so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. So Paul gets kicked out of one city, he goes to the next city, and now these people get together to stone him. Many believe Timothy was observing. Man, here's a guy who believes this book so much, he's willing to die for it. He's willing to keep going no matter what happens. He's willing to keep preaching if he doesn't make any money at it. He's willing to keep preaching if they try to kill him. But he's going to keep going. And Paul writes to Timothy and said, hey, you need to keep going in what you've learned. Remember what you learned at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, how they were trying to kill me, but I wouldn't give up on the Word of God? Hey, listen, we may be a small group, but we may be a group that God uses to stand strong in our own community, to not give up on this book, nor on the ways that God has taught us to live for Him. Don't give up on that. Well, let's keep going. Verse 6. And they were aware of it, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. So they kept going, and they keep preaching. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and they ran among the people crying out, saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Now look what it says in the next verse. So Paul quiets the crowd, and they're going to make sacrifices. He says, don't do that. That's superstitious. Verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. And if you read J. Vernon McGee, he says he thinks he was dead and that the Lord revived him. Who was from Lystra and Derbe? Timothy. Continue thou in the things which you've learned. What have you learned? Well, I've learned the Word of God is trustworthy, but I've learned the ways of God might be difficult. It may be dangerous to stand up for God. It may be demanding to stand up for God. It may require death to stand up for God, but Paul reminds Timothy, you continue in those things you've learned. And Paul chronicles back there, not only did he learn the Word of God and the way of God, how to serve the Lord, even when it was difficult, even when it was demanding. Look in verse 20, let's keep reading. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Paul got up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now I think verse 22 is what Paul's referencing in 2 Timothy 3. In verse 21 he says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, what? To continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Boy, that sounds a whole lot like 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and that anybody that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And the fact is, Paul was just telling Timothy, I know what you learned back there. I know you saw what I went through. And I know you went through some of it with me. Hey, listen, it is a demanding and a difficult and sometimes dangerous thing to stand for God. But keep going. Keep going. Keep standing. Keep following God's will and God's work. Okay, so I know I'm out of time, but let me give you this last. So that he learned the Word of God. He learned the ways of God, but he also learned the man of God. Go back to 2 Timothy. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look what it says in verse number 10. But thou, or you, have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Timothy, what have you learned? Well, I learned one thing. The Bible's true. I've learned that it's difficult to serve God sometimes, but I learned this. There's some servants that are sold out, and they're not going to quit no matter what, and they are the real deal. And that's what Paul was. And Paul's saying this, Timothy, you imitate me. You, listen, you don't buy into those shucksters that say that it's all about comfort and it's all about money and it's all about your flesh. He said, you follow me. And I broke that thing, and I know I'm over time, but I'll tell you, I broke that down into three thoughts. Paul's commitment to the Lord, in spite of all of the difficulty, Paul said this, you know my doctrine. Paul didn't change his doctrine even when the Jews tried to kill him over it. He's not changing his doctrine. He was committed in his doctrine in spite of all of the things that he had to face, the opposition, the persecution, the tribulations. Not only did Timothy see Paul's commitment to that, he saw Paul's concern for other people. Look what it says in verse number 10. He says, my manner of life, which is his conduct, his purpose, which is his passion for life, why he does what he does. But then he says his faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Faith is the idea of faithfulness to God, even though things aren't going well in our minds sometimes. Long-suffering has this idea, suffering long with other people. Even when other people are being mean to me, I suffer along with him. That's what he's talking about. Timothy watched Paul's concern for people. He suffered long with them. He didn't give up on them. He showed, it says, charity, which is love, and then patience in his circumstance. Timothy got an upfront and personal, close look at Paul's life, and here's what he said. I saw commitment. I saw concern for others, and I saw courage. Look what he says down there. Persecutions in verse 11 and afflictions which came at me. And he says, what persecutions I endured. He witnessed the courage of Paul in the face of danger, in the face of death, but yet he kept going. He had learned of Paul's preaching. He'd seen Paul's practice. He knew Paul's purpose. He had witnessed Paul's principles. He saw Paul as he was being persecuted. He saw God provide for Paul through all of that. Look what it says in the last part of verse 11. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. And the fact is, he says, Timothy, you keep going. You keep going. In the things you have learned. Now, I'll go back to the first of my message. There was three things he learned, three things in this passage. He learned them, but he also was confident of them. He believed wholeheartedly in his heart that they were the truth, that this Bible was the truth, and that Paul really was a man of God. And that's why he was encouraged to follow them. And the last thing is, he was just to continue. He was to continue. Now, I might be preaching to the choir, but I might not be. But I can tell you this, guys and ladies, we're living in a day and time when you need to keep on continuing for the things of God the way you were taught them. You know, when I would have trouble in my life, many times I would call my mother. My dad died when I was 22, I think. I would call my mom to get advice from. Now, you know, I get advice from the Bible, but I would call my mom. I'd say, Mom, what would you do in this situation? And I want to be honest with you. Every time I asked my mother for advice, I got good advice. She was a very smart lady. And I remember asking other people the same question. One time I had to make a financial decision, and I called my mother, and I said, Mom, what would you, I said, would you do this? And she said, Ivan, that would be a horrible mistake. Don't do that. I said, okay, Mom, I won't do that. I called a couple other men that I knew. And one of the guys said, oh, that sounds like a great idea. You might ought to do that. I called another fellow, and he said, well, he said, yeah, he said, you might ought to think about doing that seriously. Well, you know what? I took my mother's advice, and I didn't do what somebody was asking me to do. And about 6 months later, you could have heard a deep, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that. You know why my mom gave me good advice? Because my mom had my best interest at heart. My mom wasn't trying to make money off of me. My mother wasn't trying to somehow feather her nest off of me. She was just truly interested in my well-being. And she was invested in me. Because she birthed me. And Paul looks at Timothy and said, you know why I'm giving you the right advice? Because I'm interested in you, I'm invested in you, and I want the very best for you. And it amazes me that young people believe everybody else but the ones who love them. And church members will believe the idiot down the street and not the pastor who suffered with them. Some of you have been taught the right thing by your moms and dads and by good, godly pastors. And here's what you're thinking. Oh, they don't know that much. Oh, maybe they don't have it right. I want to tell you, listen, if God's put you under a good pastor and good teaching, don't you forsake it and forget it and throw it under the bus and say, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. They just don't know what they're talking about. No, you keep going in what God's called you to do by teaching you those things. And don't give up. You say, well, brother, I mean, it'd be so much more comfy and easier, and I'd be popular and be accepted in the world. I understand that. You keep going the way God's trained you, as long as you've been trained right. And God pity your soul if you throw your parents and your pastor and your teachers out the door, and you go after some old boy on the television or the radio who doesn't know you from Adam, nor care one thing about you, and will lead you astray in a heartbeat. Don't do that. You keep going for God. And I'll tell you what, I learned over my life, I can call my mom, you know what? She'll give me the truth because my mom loves me. You call some old shuckster preacher on the television or radio, I'll tell you exactly what you're going to get you're going to get whatever answer is he can give you to get in your back pocket. And that's just the way it is. All right, well, let's pray. We'll go to that next thing next week. Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for your love for us, for your mercy. God, help us to continue in what we've learned, knowing that those who've taught it to us are concerned about us. They care for us. They're committed to our well-being. In Jesus' name, amen.